Howdy, y'all. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. It's November the 12th, 2022, and this show is called Thought Crime Live, and I'm the thought criminal, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and all you guys out there with enough sense to think for yourselves and listen to this show, you're thought criminals too in the eyes of the powers that should not be. It's not me they care about or worry about. It's you. I just want to make sure you guys know that. You rock. If it wasn't for you, none of this would happen. And you're the ones that they worry about, not us. They know that if anything changes, it's going to be done by you. We're going to have to find that person to save us in the mirror, every one of us. And I just, sorry, that's the thought crime. But that's my thought crime for today. And I'm joined by this week by another RBN host, someone I'm sure all of you, most of you anyway, know. He comes on right after Richard Carey's Beyond the Official Narrative. His show's called National Bugle Radio. And also, we had done some work during that time that Farron is on, a little over a year ago. We spoke on Saturday morning before. Patrick Slattery is my co-host today. Patrick, are you with me, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Steve.
Oh, great. Coming in clear. Yeah, it was back a couple of years ago, I think, that we did that roundtable. So that's the last time that we actually spoke on the Saturday morning, I believe. And it's great to have you. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. There's, you know, I wanted to ask a question of you. This may seem silly to ask the personal thing about your show, but maybe some of the listeners who will remember this as well. But one of your bumpers, okay, when you during your show, is it not the Ballad of the Panzer Grenadiers that was from that movie, The Battle of the Bulge?
Yes, it is.
And that yes, was, that Mark, yes,
that was Mark Dankoff's suggestion. I've used it occasionally when Mark Dankoff is on the show, but usually it's at the end of my show that I do with Cato, the Chinese themed show. And I just thought it was fun because we had all this Chinese music, and I just thought it would be fun to have some nice patriotic German music just to clear the palate.
Okay. Well, I thought I recognized it, and it was something that I had, just in the back of my mind. And I said, when I get a chance, I'm going to ask Patrick about that. And when we planned this, it was before this latest election, you know, and that was one of the things you thought we might like to discuss. And I have to be honest with you, I don't see there are any political solutions to where we are now. I just was, you know, I gave up on voting, honestly, sir. But yeah, it seems like that. Yeah, go ahead, sir. Do you think there's any way out of this? Do you think there's any way we can vote our way out of this?
Well, people talk about voting your way out, and some people talk about shooting your way out. And, you know, I have been recently saying, well, we can't Fed post our way out of this. But the thing is, anything has to be a multi-pronged strategy. And just because you can't, quote unquote, vote your way out doesn't mean you cease voting, because there's no one tool that is going to take care of all of this. And, you know, who knows how far we're going to get? Who knows? You know, like, everybody might have their own idea about what a solution would look like. You know, after there's been a solution, what does America even look like? So people have different ideas. But the fact of the matter is you need a multi-pronged approach. And let's just say, for instance, if you were to look at the election earlier this week, and the House of Representatives, just take the House of Representatives, which, according to the what they call the generic ballot, all of the votes for House of Representatives in all 435 districts combined, and almost all of them have been counted. There are these places in California and a few other places who are dragging their heels. And one would think they're dragging their heels because they have nefarious reasons for doing so. But at any rate, the result was, so far, is about 51% for Republicans, 46% for Democrats. Republicans are winning by a 5% margin, and yet it when all is when you know everything's done, said and done, it's very likely that you're going to have a I mean, not very likely, but it's possible that you could even have a Democratic majority in the face of that kind of voting. So it does seem there's a certain amount of fraud, but do you just, these institutions have power, and do you just sacrifice those institutions to, not that the Democrat, the Republicans would save us, but to the people who are most hostile to us? And the last thing I'll say is, it's not as if I, if let's just say there had been no fraud, let's just say that the Republicans had won something like the 235 to 240 seats that some people were expecting, including myself. I mean, I thought that 235, 236 might be possible. But you know, even then, what happens? These are people, are these, the Republican, a Republican victory like that is simply going to slow down the speed of the car as it's headed towards the cliff. It doesn't actually turn anything around. And so everything has to be multi-pronged. I think actually speaking about, and I would say speaking about Jewish power like Kanye West is doing is really more important than the midterm election. So I kick it back to you, Stephen.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But a lot of them that we still have to participate in where we live. But you make my point as well, where we were saying when all is said and done, you know, when all is stolen and matches the, you know, what they want, it seems to come to that now. If it's not overtly and blatantly that way as it was in the USSR, it's almost that way now with the USSA. In other words, a totalitarian structure is just being enshrined with this quote unquote voting. We're approaching that point, I think, in this country is what worries me the most. And I agree with you completely about the car headed for the cliff, and we're going to have to try to stop it or slow it down or get out of the car. And I don't know, that's kind of where it comes down to with me. And I would ask you this, do you think that there is any, I think, well, I'll put it this way. I think that there is any validity left to trying to fight back politically. It's got to be locally. I mean, this COVID psyop showed us how much more important who your governor is than who your cutout cardboard president is up in D.C., I think.
Well, I mean, I think it's important at all levels. There has been a tendency to focus on the federal level. Everybody knows who the president is. A lot of people don't know who their own governor is, and very few people know who the governor of the next state is. And people don't know their federal, their local officials. They don't know their town council members or whatever. There has been a tendency to focus on the national level, but it's all important. And all of these levels of government have an impact on our lives. And, you know, we need a multi-pronged approach, and it's also just not government. I had a sponsor for a long time, the Co-Certified app, and I loved being their sponsor. It's undergoing a change of ownership, and so I'm not shilling for the Co-Certified app every day. But the idea of the Co-Certified app was taking control of this one segment of our life, which is what we eat, and you know, a lot of people don't know it, but the bulk of the things that you find in the supermarket shelves have been kosher certified. Is it a big deal? Maybe it's not a big deal, but the app itself, it gives people the knowledge of, you know, what's kosher certified and also what's not kosher certified. More importantly, what's not kosher certified, so people can make a choice. So the thing is, in our daily lives, take razors, for instance. Take Gillette. Gillette makes razors. Do you remember a few years ago during the whole Me Too You know, you could call that even a hoax, too, because a lot of that was just so overblown. But during the whole Me Too phenomenon, Gillette had this commercial of it was supposed to be shaming men. You know, men shouldn't be acting like this. But when you really looked at the commercial, it was a bunch of black men telling white men not to to approach white women. If you really looked at it, because that's what they were showing. And, you know, that's just so totally unacceptable. And Gillette needed to be boycotted. But we don't have a mechanism for boycotting. Something like that app, would be perfect. I think we can boycott our way out. We can boycott the big media companies. If we can boycott, you know, you can boycott BlackRock, the big financial firm. There's nothing that BlackRock does that non-Jewish owned firms aren't already doing, you know, Franklin Templeton or whatever. We can boycott our way out, but the only way to boycott our way out is you have to have people being aware of really what the nature of the problem is, and then being able to share information on who to target. You don't target every company all at once, but these targeted boycotts, one after another, that's going to, I think that could do an awful lot. When I say don't boycott our way out, it would be one of the big tools that we would use.
I think that's a terrific idea, too, to do what you can where you can. And if people were able to communicate more freely, the app idea that where we could communicate these things, that's, you know, that's what we should be doing. But I every time a network gets, YouTube used to be free to speak. People were organizing. You remember the quote unquote alt-right, but they always come and clamp down on this and make it more and more difficult. It's going to get a mass appeal to boycott. That would be difficult in the face of them owning all the media. But I do agree with that sentiment as best you can. Now, I mean, I try to stop doing what I can where I can and take back my life where I can take it back. I mean, I was down at the bottom of a deep well here. Talk about oppressed. These people had their boot on my neck, and I just could hardly breathe. And a couple of years ago, I started trying to take things back one little step at a time, controlling what I did to myself, what I put in my body, and what I, like you say, what you spent your money on and what you spend your time on. And, you know, I was it's slowly showing some results with me. Anybody, and most people aren't down as deep of a hole as I was. We can make a difference. I do think you're right about that. And I don't know how to go about it either. We talk about building a different system, not only knowing who to boycott, but knowing people who are trustworthy and that you would want to do business with these folks. And, you know, oh gosh, there are all these, and that brings to mind this latest thing I've been reading about called compliance officers in all of these big companies, the gender compliance audit that they do. And now we just spoke yesterday on the roundtable about how 1 in 6 managers are being told not to hire whites. So the racial thing will be reversed. You know, they'll go back with that and compliance for that. All of these members of the stakeholder corporatocracy, you know, that have these tools and have the power over us, will go that direction and not. How are we going to fight against that? We'll have to have our own thing. And if we can't have our own thing, it's going to have to be underground in that. It's a daunting thing to think about, Patrick. I mean, I really agree that that's something that we need to do, but I don't know how to go about it. Just one step at a time, I guess. That co-certified app, I remember you when you were using that as they were sponsoring you. I thought that was a great idea. People don't know. You want to know what's GMO and what's not GMO too, and that's very hard to find out. One of the things I started doing a few years ago is reading the labels and not eating this and not eating that, and it made a big difference. And I agree with that completely.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing is, regular American people is overlaps very, very largely with just saying white people. I mean, some white people aren't that regular, and some regular people aren't that white. But still, we have been oppressed and psychologically abused, and so many of us are in kind of a Stockholm syndrome, and we're identifying with our oppressors, and we want to be Schindler from Schindler's List. We want to be the one who protects the, you know, these people in the small hats. And the thing is, it's not as if I want to harm them. I don't. And I get along very well with, Jewish people, and even Jewish people who are very ethnocentric and are trying to pursue their own interests. On a personal level, you can get along with them. But the fact of the matter is, where we are completely incapable of speaking about this in any major way, and most which is why RBN is so important. This is why almost all RBN hosts start their show by talking about the importance of free speech, because there's almost no free speech left. There's just no platforms for it, and because people can't talk freely, and everybody knows there's, everybody knows there's big problems. Well, you can't identify the source of the problem, but you have identified a problem. So what are you going to do? You're going to identify something that's not really the source of the problem and scapegoat it. And so, we've people on the left who might know there's some sort of problem, but they what are they going to scapegoat? If you look at the last election or the 2016 election, they started talking about Russia hacked the election because they didn't like the result of the election. But, others who see the wars and don't like the wars, the old-fashioned lefties who used to be very against war, and to the extent there are any of them left, they'll talk about the military-industrial complex. They'll talk about they'll talk about the corporations. They might talk about the bankers. But they're really kind of, if you look at this war that's going on in Ukraine, this is absolutely a Jewish ethnic vendetta against the government of Vladimir Putin, which betrayed them. Because, it was Jewish power, it was Jewish oligarchs that put Putin in place in the first place, and he's betrayed them, and they cannot abide by that. And so you got the people like Victoria Nuland at this State Department, but the others, her bosses Wendy Sherman and Tony Blinken, who are both Jewish, Ron Klain, the chief of staff of Biden, they've got this project. And here's the thing, and this is hopeful. They had this project to overthrow Vladimir Putin, and it's not going well. It's not going well for them. And honestly, just to circle back to what I was talking about a minute ago, we as regular American white people have been so oppressed. We've got, we're not able to speak to each other. We're not able to organize, and we're a mess. Frankly, we're a big mess. We don't know what to do. But what's hopeful is that we might get some help, not necessarily intentional help, but help, effective help from other sources. From the Russians and the Chinese being counters to Sino-American government power.
We'll be Patrick. Can you continue that after the break, sir? All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Yes, sir.
I am a white destroyer, for I will show you silver and gold, and I will bring treasure. I will wave a widowing flag, and I will be your lover, and I will show you grotto and cave and sacrificial altar, and I will show you blood on the stone, and I will.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Marching, I hear marching outside my window in the rain. I play checkers. I'm sick of checkers.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Fault Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Stephen Douglas Whitener, and my co-host today is Patrick Slattery. And Mr. Slattery, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were going over the Jewish vendetta war in Ukraine that's taking place.
Yeah, Jewish vendetta war. They motivated by, well, the thing is, when the Soviet Union was broken up, and I don't think Jewish power played a decisive role, really, in breaking up the Soviet Union. But there was a massive opportunity once it was broken up. And you know, the Soviet Union had this economic structure. And this is what, you know, a lot of people really don't understand, is what distinguished the Soviet Union was not being repressive, was not censorship. Yeah, all that stuff was there, but what really distinguished communism in the 20th century was this economic system of state ownership of the means of production and centralized economic planning, which in terms of like getting you out of a total destructive war and to a level where people are not starving to death, it worked okay for that. But it didn't get. But it couldn't take you anywhere further than that, and so it was just not an efficient economic system, and it needed to be replaced. And so once the Soviet Union was terminated, and these successor republics, Russia in particular, well, they needed to transform from that planned economy, state-owned planned economy, to a market economy, and it produced a massive opportunity for Jewish capital. And what happened was the American government under Bush and then under Clinton sent over these advisors like Jeffrey Sachs, who's actually right now is the voice of reason, but he planned this privatization scheme that was taken advantage of by Jews to capture all of the important economic assets of Russia. And then from the Treasury Department, Lawrence Summers, who later became Secretary of Treasury, later became President of Harvard, but he was a Treasury official at the time. And another person who's not quite as well known, but Peter Orszag, who became a high official in the Obama administration. He was very young at the time, but they're all Jews. And then, of course, then you have people like George Soros or other money bags, Jewish international money bags, who were not able to buy these resources because you had to be a Russian citizen to participate, but they were able to fund Jewish Jews from Russia who then could buy up everything. They were running everything, and over the course of that decade running everything, that everything went south for the regular Russian people. A Russian man's life expectancy contracted by about 7 years, and the Yeltsin administration became so unpopular. They were going through one prime minister after another trying to find somebody who could who might be able to stave off a communist victory in the 2000 elections, because it looked like the communists were going to win. And the communist leader, Gennady Zyuganov, who's still around, by the way, he was saying things like, if Jews want to act like Russians, fine, but otherwise they should get the hell out of Russia. I mean, this was the situation. They got Putin, who saved the day for them, but then he turned around and kicked out a lot of these Jewish oligarchs. And they can never forgive that.
Yep, okay. I remember when that happened with Yeltsin and the Bushes coming in. I seem to remember there was a lot of this bonds and things, and part of the fraud that took place with the Soviet Union, breaking up, that came due on September the 11th too. That was a really weird coincidence back in 2001. I thought that just okay. All this stuff just it's disgusting the deeper I look at it, you know. And I have to agree with what you said about we have to be able to talk about this to do anything about it. You have to be able to mention that it's a Jewish war in Ukraine. And also, I've heard you say something else that resonated, where you said white people can't stand up and speak for themselves anymore or have our opinion. You mentioned that when you were at a anti-vax rally where they were coming up and talking about this, but we couldn't have just white people do this. You were talking about how we had to have our spokesman, someone champion us. It relates back to that Gillette commercial you were talking about too, sir. I have to agree with you very much there. I don't know if we have a caller. Yeah, we have a caller, but we'll get to the caller right after the break, guys. It's David in Massachusetts. Thanks. We'll be right back, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. great product, Fria, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, everyone. Sorry, the mutes hung up on me for a sec there, guys. Hello, RBN listeners. In lieu of that bumper music, we are all we need. You guys really rock out there. I was starting off the show telling you how much I respect the RBN listener, and without the audience, we wouldn't be here, and how important freedom of speech is. You know, Patrick Slattery has so many different ways to say freedom of speech, but I'll just call us the canary in the coal mine of free speech today, RBN. And RBN is having a fundraiser at it's a book. You can own a book that was owned by John Stadmiller from his library. If you are able to donate $100 or more, and the book this week that will be drawn tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time is The Circle of Intrigue by Tex Mars. And to donate, you can call the I don't have that number in front of me. You can call RBN and they will take it. You can go to the RBN banner, too, that that were. Sorry, folks, I didn't have that number. But, yeah, it's Circle of Intrigue. And you know, RBN, if it wasn't for you guys, you know, it's very important to be able to talk about these things, just like Patrick was saying. And I just want to encourage everyone, to, if they can, to donate. And then, I mean, how cool would that be to own one of the books of the from the Founders Library? And, okay, and let's see, back to Mr. Slattery before I take the caller. Patrick, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go to our calls?
You know, so just as I said, that you have this, the war is this Jewish vendetta against Vladimir Putin, but in this war, and you could add in, you know, the Maidan, so-called Maidan Revolution, the coup d'etat of 2014, which was another Jewish element to it. Yeah, white people have been so demoralized and so beaten down, and we've got Stockholm syndrome, and you know, there's so big hunks of the white population, especially single women, who are allying against us. But on the other hand, the hopeful things are you've got China and Russia, for their own reasons, are taking on the American government, which is in the hands of Jewish power. And now you've got these black celebrities who, I guess, maybe they got the memo, but they didn't never read it. They never bothered to read the memo. And they're talking about Jewish power. And, you know, that could burst a hole in the dam or the hole in the dike and the water comes through. These are all very hopeful things. And they're not. And that's not us fighting our way out. That's not us voting or Fed posting or anything else. These are other people who, for their own reasons, are taking on the Jewish power. And maybe that will provide an opening for us. That's what I was trying to say.
That's terrific. And I really like that we can't Fed post our way out of this. I might have to quote that. That was an excellent point. And also that you said that all white people are regular and all regular people are white. That was another good phrase I heard you mention today that I'll probably remember. And now I guess we'll go to our first caller. It's David in Massachusetts. Hello, David. You have a question for our guest, sir?
Yes. I'd like to ask Patrick, and hello to you, Stephen. I would like to ask Patrick for a little clarity. I've listened to his show quite a bit in the past, and I wasn't quite clear whether Patrick is an atheist or an agnostic. There's a difference between an atheist and an agnostic. I was wondering, where does he consider himself? There's a big chapter in the big book of AA, the big blue book on we agnostics and everything, where they talk about the difference between atheism and agnosticism. But where does Patrick come down on that? Does he identify with one or the other?
I mean, I would be described as an agnostic. To be an atheist, I usually say I'm not religious. Well, not religious could incorporate both of those two terms. To be an atheist, you're making the positive statement that God doesn't exist, and I don't do that. I'm agnostic in the very true sense. Gnostia, whatever it is, that means knowledge, and agnostic means without knowledge, and that's what I am. I am without knowledge regarding matters of religion. I am without knowledge.
Okay, yeah, because I was
clear. Did that clarify it?
Because I was clear that, you said several things about, how you didn't share, even though you co-host with him often, you didn't necessarily share Jeremy's Christian faith and so on. So, yeah, that clarifies it. Now, here's a question I have for you, Patrick. Irish folklore and legend says the narrative says that the patron saint of Ireland, Saint Patrick, he drove the snakes out of Ireland. So my question to you is: Do you think it's wishful thinking that we could possibly have a modern day contemporary Patrick that would drive the snakes out of America?
Probably not. Can you hear me? Yeah, probably not. I don't know what snakes is a metaphor for. If you're using snakes as a metaphor for, say, Jews, I don't see Jews as being driven out of the United States. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's going to happen. So if that's what the metaphor, if that's what it's a metaphor for, then no, I don't see any St. Patrick driving the snakes out of America.
Right. And thanks very much for the call, David. Next is a co-host on RBN, Luca, who follows me on Luca's World. Has an excellent show, y'all. Luca, can you hear me, sir?
I sure can. There you go with the sir again.
I know. I understand. That's a southern thing. Really? You know, it's not an insult. Yes, please. Go ahead.
No, I love it. I love it. Really quick for the book, The Circle of Intrigue, the number is 800-724-2719, extension 3. That's 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, to donate and to get in there for the for week one of John Stadmiller's book drive. My call was for you, and that was two callers ago, and when you were talking about the personal space that we have to be in to be healthy and to work ourselves out of the rut. And this is exactly what I'm going to be talking about on my next show. And I just have a quote from the Blue Star Prophecy from the Hopi, and this will clue everybody in with what I'm talking about. This is a quote. Many among us will appear to have lost their souls in these final days. So intense will the nature of the changes be that those who are weak in spiritual awareness will go insane, because we are nothing without spirit. So basically what I see is the materialistic people are just, they're already starting to commit suicide because of, you know, this and that going down and the economy going down. It's a matter of working on yourself. Like you were saying earlier before you went back to talking about something else, it's about working inside and doing the change that you want outside, inside first. And that's what I'm doing in Luca's world. So I just wanted to say thank you, and that's all I had to share.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Luca, and you're an inspiration to me, too, in that regard, as taking back your life from what the oppression and
well, you started it.
I appreciate
it. You were saying that you have to look inward, and that's exactly...
Yes, sir.
You know, that's what
an inside job.
You want to change the world, yes. Change yourself first, and you'll see the magic happen. Well, thanks for...
I agree. Thanks very much, Luca. And next, I have... John in Tennessee. John, can you hear me, sir?
Good morning to all of you. Luca brought
Howdy.
A smile to my face. Luca made me smile. Thank you, Luca. Patrick, I've enjoyed your broadcast for as long as you've been on RBN, my friend. And
thank
Saturday
you very
mornings
much.
To me, all of you make it possible for me to actually work on a Saturday morning and enjoy not the work, but time flies when you're having fun, even when you're talking about difficult things. You know, David brought something up, Patrick, and I'm not saying this in any way to be argumentative, but he mentioned atheism and agnosticism, which means without knowledge. You're correct. So here's another word that means without knowledge, and first of all, I think that for you to say without knowledge is an oxymoronic statement, because you're a very smart man. So you're not agnostic, and neither are you an ignoramus, which is another way of saying agnostic. You're not an ignoramus. So I would say, to kind of tie into what Lucas said, it's time to get knowledged up. Maybe if you don't have knowledge about God or faith or religion, whatever that may be, get knowledged up, because things are going to get rough. We're not going to like it. These people that are involved in this, whether I'm a one man crying in the middle of Tennessee or crying in the wilderness, this is a spiritual battle. And the people that are involved now in high places, they want Patrick killed. They want Luca killed. They want John in Tennessee killed. And they want the host of today's broadcast dead. You're breathing their air, folks, and they don't like it. Biden made it very clear. I'm going to ask both of you, do you remember when he was campaigning for president with the whole no malarkey bus and all the rest of it, the satanic symbolism that was all over his tour bus? He said in a speech, and I've got it on video, we are in a battle for the soul of this nation. They are set about at this time to steal souls, to damn souls, to condemn souls, any way you want to put it. It's a species, a seed war, and we are not like them, and they are not like us. We are their mortal enemies, because we possess something they can't even comprehend, and that's truth. I'd like to hear both your comments, if you don't mind.
Patrick?
Okay, well, you know, regarding my agnosticism, I'm certainly not a, what would you call it? I'm not a disciple of agnosticism. I don't think everybody should be agnostic. I don't think people should be like me. I think actually religion has the potential to be extremely healthy, and that a healthy society really needs religion. And I certainly don't discourage anybody. I would never want other people to have the same religious views or lack of religious views I do. I mean, I grew up this way because my parents, you know, didn't instill. My father from time to time would try to encourage me to, you know, go to church or read the Bible. But in general, I just didn't grow up that way. And if you don't grow up that way, it usually takes some sort of big event, something major in your life to bring you to religion. And I'm not going to lie and pretend I'm religious when I'm not. So I'm just being honest. But I do think religion's important for a society. And I don't know if you could have a healthy society that's agnostic or atheist. And if we look around, you know, America's still pretty religious, but you look at these European countries and they're not religious. And what's happening to them? Are they healthy societies? And I would say no. They are societies that are in decline, and part of it is because they've lost religion.
Thanks. I tend to agree with what Patrick said. If I'm anything, I don't claim to be religious, and if I'm anything, I'd be a non-professing Christian. I lived my life a Christian before, but I'm just not going to. Why about something that I'm not going to claim to know something that I don't know for sure. You know, that's just me being honest too. I think that's where I stand with it as well. But
I will echo, I hope I'm not religious, because religion is something different. I mean, more people have died under the name of religion, whatever the religion is. It's caused more death than all murders combined, I suppose, all yes. Due to you don't believe like I do.
Right. I agree. It's been a problem.
You know, right. Yeah. It's been
I'm sorry to talk about it. Yeah, I have another caller I want to get to. John, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate that. Appreciate you, sir. And next is Stoney in Georgia. Stoney, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can, and I want to thank you for taking my call. First off, I would like to comment on what Patrick Flannery was saying earlier about Russia, and particularly Boris Borisovsky, who was dating Yeltsin's daughter at the time, okay, and he was physically abusing her, beating the hell out of her, and getting her to get Yeltsin in his drunken stupor state to sign over all of the natural resources to the oligarchs, okay? And then there was this Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who had the most money lent to him from the Rothschilds, and this is the way the Rothschilds play the game. You have to be of a certain tribe for them to loan the money to you. Then you go into these countries, buy up all their natural resources, and then before you die, you have to wheel everything back to the Rothschild. That's why they own 200,000% of the earth right now. Okay, now, going to something else that you went over earlier, particularly, and I'm in total agreement with you. I don't like it because it's unnatural. Whatever God has put together, let no man put down. But when I see blatant programming going on, and this is these commercials with these black men and white women and vice versa, if you go back and study the father of genealogy, Mendel, the German father of genealogy, and his studies about genes, you understand why your white woman is being programmed to accept everything but her white man, because only through her can you keep returning. Okay, I can elaborate on this, but we're on a short time, so I'm going to just go through as much as I can. As far as what you commented on, as far as Kyrie and Kanye right now, you are correct. There's a galvanization. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct. It's a splitting among the black community right now. It's being galvanized. Okay. Of those of the Shaquille O'Neals, the Charles Barkley, the Oprah Winfreys, all the black celebrities, entertainers, and sports figures who want to hang on to their materialism, and the black masses who have, same as the poor white masses have, nothing. They don't even have hope no more. Okay, so there's a galvanization going on right now between them. Okay, now, and I agree with John from Tennessee when he says, when he talks about the souls. Okay, when you understand that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, it only changes form. Okay, when you understand that, whatever level of conscious awareness you leave here physically, it's a level of conscious awareness you're going to wake up on. If you learned last night that the Democrats stole the election again, then you woke up the same morning with the same knowledge. It's the same thing. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. But for those who have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and you don't do something about this, they are going to continue to be the slaves of these people who walk the earth, who I call beast in human form, who stalk the earth in human form, okay? Now, and they are afraid of one thing when it comes to, you know, spirituality, and that's Russia returning to its Christian roots, and they're willing to fight, and I say fight, and this is their quote, Satan to the death, and I am with them 100%. I'm sorry I didn't... I took up so much time, but I just wanted to get all that out.
Thanks, Tony Patrick. Your response?
Oh yeah, I mean, I enjoyed what Stoney had to say. Are we up on the break yet?
I think we might be skipping the last one. Let's skip the last break. And Stoney, if you'd like to communicate sometime off of here, I would like I'd like to talk to you off air if you would sometime, sir. Is that okay with you?
Okay.
All right, yes, okay, go ahead, Patrick, sure, yes, go ahead.
No, those were excellent and interesting comments. There's an awful lot there to unwrap, but yeah, that was, I'll ask Stoney, because maybe he's got a perspective on this. So you mentioned the, you know, in the black athletic community, you're starting to have sides being drawn, right, with the establishment people like Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley being very critical of Kanye, being very critical of Kyrie Irving, and then others who are voicing support for them. And you got, you know, the commentator Jason Whitlock. You've got Antonio Brown, I think, is being pretty supportive of them. Where do you think this is going? Is this going to be a big deal, or are they going to be able to put a lid on this and keep people from, you know, just put a lid on it so the controversy goes away? What do you think?
I think as long as you got the likes of Michael Jordan who and Barack Obama, who are put up out front as the so-called standard for what we should achieve, the black community is going to have problems. But the average black person who is struggling just like the poor average white person, okay, knows that there is a difference. Now, as how it's going to turn out, I don't know. But I can see the galvanization starting. All right, now, how far will it go? You got, like I say, you have the likes of LeBron and Charles Barkley. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Django Unchained, but if you remember when Leonardo DiCaprio's character was killed, Samuel L. Jackson's character lost his mind. Okay, and as I think, you got these modern day house Negroes who love their position, and they, you know, been programmed to not love themselves as much as they love materialism. So that's a lot to overcome. Look at the Republicans, they're not fighting for the Republican people. They're letting this still go on. They're not saying anything. The only person who is saying something is Trump. They've already set it up for the Trump and DeSantis to go at it with each other. I sit here and watch the election, the midterms. You should have seen how giddy the press was when it came to the Democrats. I mean, they were giddy. And the only Republican they invited on was Lindsey Lady Boy Graham, which they knew he didn't have no spine. Okay, so,
he's an embarrassment.
He's an embarrassment to mankind. To manhood, he's an embarrassment. All All right. So, and but if you notice, this is what they like. They don't want. They do not want heterosexual alpha males, heterosexual white or black alpha males. You either have to be a woman, which we have now in all of these, especially a lot of these black female commentators, what I call modern-day Aunt Jemimas. And if you go back and study the mentality of the Aunt Jemima, you understand why they are where they are right now, okay? Or you have to be a broke-back mountain-type man to be able to advance in this world. But I do understand, spiritually speaking, that the level of conscious awareness that I leave here on is the level of conscious awareness that I wake up on. If you understand physics, okay, when you freeze water, you drop water past 32 degrees Fahrenheit, it becomes ice. Bring it back above, it becomes water. Take it to 212, it becomes steam. It never disappears or dissipates. It only changes form, and that is us. That is us. If we understand it, that's to how we win it. Oh,
that's
sorry.
Deep. That thanks, Tony. That's awesome. That's deep. You know, I don't claim we were talking about religion before, and I don't claim that to know and understand this thing or how it works. But I know there's something in that universe that works. You know, I don't have to know how to use this phone in my hand to use it. I don't have to understand exactly how that energy works to tap into it. And you're right that we have to look in, like Lucas said, to look inward first. And if you could hang on after the show, Stoney, I would like to talk with you more if you're available, sir. Sam will talk to you. Thank you very much, Patrick, for joining me. I hear the music coming up.
Thanks for having me.
Terrific. I enjoyed it very much. And y'all remember, a thought crime a day helps keep tyranny at bay. And stay tuned for Lucas World next. And then at this afternoon, 3 p.m. Central, Mike Gaddy's Rebel Madman Radio. Y'all come back and be good to each other. Won't you know?
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.